Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
Oh, tell me the terrible story.
It's disgusting. I was doing like an audit in one of the buildings, and we have this like
This is so pretty, by the way.
It's a star sign thing.
So pretty.
And one of the offices is like completely empty. So to stop, but we have an office space in a certain building, and it's never used. But it has like a water tank, and it has all the facilities. So it's got like toilets and showers, and but it also has like a water heater for tea. So once a month when I'm doing the audit, I run the taps so that we don't get Legionella's disease in the cistern. And I had a guy with me, like a plumber with me today, and I was running the, so the hot water tank is for like tea. So you know, one of those ones that's like always hot. And it's plumbed in. And he was like, oh, I've just come from like a warehouse where he was like, the entire warehouse was is in hospital. All the warehouse workers. And I was like, what? And he was like, they were all like sent to hot. They were all sent to hospital yesterday. And he was like, one of them's quite unwell. And I was like, why? And he was like, not the one that you have, but the old big Birker water heaters with like a lid on the top. He was like, they had been drinking tea, like drinking hot water, making tea and coffee out of one of them. And one of them was like, this doesn't smell right to like today. And I was, or yesterday. And I was like, oh, okay. He was like, and I, when I was there was a rat.
No!
Rat.
No, Sarah.
A dead rat in the tank, and they've all been drinking dead rat water. Yeah! I told you it was disgusting.
I would never be clean again.
No.
I would never, ever be clean again.
So they're all in hospital to make sure that they don't get Wales disease?
Sarah.
Can you get rabies from drinking dead rat
water? No, Wales disease, definitely.
It's so dangerous.
It's lethal.
And there's like, I got an elderly man who's close to retirement and he's really sick. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah.
How long does that rat live?
I wouldn't say that long because he said like, it was like, it probably was in and then like the next day, one of them was like, so he was like, there's a strong chance that like, one of them maybe drank.
Okay.
But like, not to be like particularly mean towards people who smoke, but smokers have really weak taste buds.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So
maybe they just didn't.
I was like, what? I can smell.
Like you would die.
I can smell if you changed your perfume and made me.
Yeah.
I can smell it off
you
my cup.
You pick up on every smell, like
I have, and apparently it's a form of autism.
Oh, that makes sense.
Apparently it's to do with having autism. The other thing that's apparently to do with autism, which I 100% have and you have to live with, is how I think water has a flavour and how I won't drink Deep River Walk because I don't like flavour and I don't like Ballygown because I think it's too heavy. It's got like a heaviness to it.
That's insanity.
Yeah, no, I know.
Insanity.
Mine, it's not because that's the truth. Water has a flavour.
I was watching a YouTube video before of this guy, this Korean guy that was in America, and he was complaining about the American water because he said it tastes oily. He was like, there's an oily taste of
now,
American
Kelly
water.
Kelly moans about the water in Ireland and says that the water in New Zealand is the best.
It probably
but
is.
Kelly also thinks everything in New Zealand is the best.
Well,
when I say to
is.
Kelly, and I hope she says, let's go back to New
she
Zealand then.
Go back to New Zealand.
Yeah,
we said what we said.
Go back to your nice water. Right?
But I always say the water in Edinburgh is unreal. That shit's unreal. Like, they have those fountains
in
the...
the Highlands?
I have no idea, but they have these fountains in the city where you just fill your bottle. Oh, shit, it's
crystal
fucking
clear.
Good. Like, and it's... They always... The water fountains are always freezing.
Oh, yes.
You're just...
It's
really good.
Water does have a flavour and...
Yeah,
that's the
it tastes like water.
No.
Yeah, it does. I made overnight oats for the first time the other day.
Did you like them?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
What you putting them?
I started feeling like you. Where I was like, I can't get this down my throat.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh! Like I had to
it's
stop.
It's claggy.
Yeah, it's really claggy. I put oats and then I used Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
And a little bit of water just to mash it up. And then I put raspberries, strawberries. Raspberries, strawberries.
Any honey or anything in there?
No, I don't like honey.
Sugar?
and put a little bit of sugar in. Yeah, I hate honey. Raspberry, strawberry, sugar, and what else wasn't it? Oh, cherries. I chopped up cherries. Oh. And put it in. And the fruit is the nice part. And then I got to the gruel and I was like, I can't do
it. So the gruel bit reminds me of that chia seed shit.
Yeah, I can't do it. I was like, I was like, I can't get, like, it was in my mouth and I was like, I spat part of it into the bin. I was like, I can't eat this.
There's an artisan pastry. The artisan bakery in Lucan Village. Shout out to them. They do an overnight
sponsors. Oats.
Well, they tagged me on, they followed me on TikTok and offered and said, come in and have free coffee.
So why isn't this happening?
Because I'm never in the village anymore and I don't have coffee.
Well, we should go to the village.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Okay. They do an overnight pudding, overnight oats, banana and dark chocolate one. And it's actually really good. And sometimes when Lily goes to dance on a Friday, I go down and get that. And I also get a fucking chocolate eclair. And I sit in the car and...
eat it all.
I have no tissue. I have no knife and fork. And I eat that chocolate eclair. Like, nobody's business. One day they were doing a news... like, there was like the RT news were in the village. And I was on the news in the background in the car. Eating a chocolate eclair.
Like, calling a bride.
Chocolate eclair.
Well, you say chocolate eclair. So, you know when you... okay, so when you're down in Tasty Treats and you ask for a cream bun.
Yeah.
See, I call them eclairs. And then I call chocolate eclairs eclairs.
Oh.
But I don't think that's right.
No.
Because cream bun to me is a bun with cream.
Yeah, so a cream bun...
yeah, but that's that. Well, to me, like...
a cream bun is...
I'll show you.
Are you on about cream donut?
Oh, now you're confusing me. Which one's a cream donut?
The one with jam and...
yeah, see...
and is it round or is
it's long.
That's a cream donut.
That's what you call them, a cream donut.
Yeah.
Eclairs. Let me just...
now, if there's anything, if we were a mastermind and they were like, what's your topic? Mine would be cakes.
Let's go.
Cakes in the world.
60 seconds on the clock. Yeah, go.
Honestly. Shucks.
Gonna have some of those shucks.
A shucks bun.
Oh, bless her. That character breaks her fucking heart. Like, I'm not able.
What are you talking about? If you watch that skit through at the end, remember she turns on someone else.
Oh, yeah. She's in the supermarket.
Yeah,
isn't she?
And someone goes, shucks. And she goes, she looks down on them.
But she wants to be posh.
Yeah, but she's looking down on the
thing. She breaks my heart.
Anyway, that's so a chocolate eclair is a long
one. Yeah. So the long one with the cream and jam.
That's a cream donut.
Cream donut? Why is it called a cream donut?
Because it's deep fried.
That makes sense.
Because the dough is deep fried.
That makes perfect sense.
So a cream donut. Then you've got, now you can have coffee shoe bun.
Yeah, I know that.
Or a chocolate shoe bun.
Yeah.
And then you can have a coffee slice.
I love Tasty
Treats. A custard slice.
Tasty Treats is so fucking good. Aren't you going to like do a fucking stupid child thing tomorrow?
No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, Tasty Treats is honestly the shit, man.
Honestly, it's the best.
It is.
We hit budget and work and I went out and got everybody cakes and apparently before me the cakes used to be like the ones from Lidl's.
Oh,
the
little
and then
ones.
I came back with like a big box of Tasty Treats.
Like, it's like when someone's birthday and they're like, go to fucking Super Value and get a cake. Go to a fucking bakery, you miserable bitch.
I went and got Tasty Treats
get
and
a cake.
Brought them all in and the lads were like, did you go to Tasty Treats in Ballyferma? And I was like, so you good. Know it.
It's so fucking
so good.
Anybody's around Ballyra, go to Tasty Treats.
Anyway, what else is going on?
Nothing really. Has anything happened? The world. the world is awful. The world is an awful, awful place. The world is an awful place. Everything is awful. And I'm not even going to try and be like, but it's awful. I don't know what to do anymore. Like, it's gone beyond. People are like, you have to live your life. I'm like, I know I have to live my life, but I'm living my life. And this is happening and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do anymore. And everything seems pointless. Like, everything seems futile at the moment. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I just...
it's the end of this week's episode.
We're just saying, like, you know, people are like, oh, just saying free Palestine means nothing. But it does. It means something. It means so much. It means so much to say free Palestine.
Like, if I was a Palestinian?
To have people go, we see you. We're sorry. We want you safe and free. We know this is wrong. Just, I'm so frustrated at people that I know and follow on the internet that it's like, and people are like, the internet's not real, but it is real. The internet is real. Everything is real right now. Like, our lives are so, revolve so much around being online and the online communities. It is real. It is real. Like, and people are like, it's not real, but I'm like, it is. I can see the type of person that you are.
Yeah.
I know, I see you. I know who you are. And I don't want you anywhere near me, or even in the, like, internet idea of it. I don't want you anywhere near me. I want you gone. Like, so many podcasters, so many fucking comedians, so many people have not spoken on this. Not a word.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking pussy ass bitches. Mm-hmm. Every single one of you. I hope your shitty fucking coffee sponsorship money was worth it, you fucking hack. Fuck you. Fuck your ma, fuck your dad, fuck your kids. I hate you all. Like, you're awful, awful, terrible human beings. Like, I don't know. And people with kids, you can look at their children and go, you're safe and happy in your bed tonight. And there are children dying of starvation right now. Bob Geldof. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's, this is disgraceful. Is it Bob Geldof? Is it?
Because
it was disgraceful 2 years ago.
It was disgraceful.
It's been disgraceful years for ago. 80 years.
It was disgraceful. Like, I remember being a fucking teenager and watching news. I can't speak today. Watching and reading articles of, like, kids getting shot on the beach playing football.
And, like,
it's been disgraceful forever.
And isn't it amazing how they made everybody believe that it was a difficult situation to understand, and it was a difficult conflict to comprehend. And there's a lot going. No, it was a genocide.
It's a genocide.
It was a genocide. Yeah. Any Irish person that walks around with an Irish flag and starts talking about how we should mind our own business and it's nothing to do with us, you should have been taken out years ago.
When I
natural selection should have taken you out.
What's going on with the Irish flags down the road?
Oh, I was meant to ask you what that was about. Are the ones, like, when you're coming into the, I call it the village.
Yeah.
But what's that about?
That's some far right lunatics.
Oh, I thought it was maybe, I was like, is this a nice thing or a bad thing? Because Sarah, it is 50-50.
Like.
Is it a far right
thing? Yeah, it's a far right thing. They've got them in Neilstown too.
But, like, what do you do? What's the point of it?
I don't know, but if you've ever been to Belfast and driven in the wrong part of the city,
yeah,
doesn't really make you feel like you're included, does it? Doesn't make you feel like you're included in that community?
Yeah, that's the whole point, to be like...
Yeah, this is like Ireland's for the Irish.
Like, I got a taxi recently with a man from Bangladesh. Lovely, lovely man. We were chatting.
He said he was terrified?
And he was telling me that his wife was in Bangladesh and it was 42 degrees. And she kept bringing him and, like, going, I can't sleep. What do I do? And he was like, I don't know. So we were having a lovely little chat. And I said to him, how long have you been in Ireland? And he was like, 25 years. And I was like, wow, that's a long time. And I was like, do you ever think you'll go back to Bangladesh? And he was like, no, this is my home. He was like, I thought it was my home. And I was like, what do you mean? And then I didn't realise. My brain didn't kind of comprehend what he was saying. And he was like, I'm so scared after what happened in Tala. I'm in the back of the car. And he was like, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable. I said, you're not making me uncomfortable. I am so sorry that our country has made you uncomfortable. And he was like, most people that I get in my taxi are the nicest people you will ever meet. He was like, I've never had a problem really with anybody. Except he told me one time he was, two guys robbed him in Ballyfermot actually. Mm-hmm. And they put like a scissors against his neck and robbed his wallet and robbed his phone. He was like, but they didn't do that because I was Indian. He said they did that because they wanted drugs or they wanted something. He was like, but that attack on that man was because he was Indian. I was like, yeah, it was.
It's because he's brown.
Yeah. Like, you get out of the car and it's like, I don't want to
be... It's just getting, like, honestly, it's not...
Like, we're not exaggerating.
No.
This is not, like, we're not sitting here going fearmonger.
Yeah.
We're not exaggerating. Yeah. Ireland is so bad at the moment.
And I don't think people understand how big the cultural difference is for these people and how hard it is.
Of course.
Like, I worked... in fucking that previous place, it was, I'd say 80% like Indian and African immigrants.
Yeah.
And that company fed on that.
Oh yeah.
They fed on their lack of knowledge around how the country works and what they're entitled to and what laws protect them. They fed on it in a way where it was like, and they were proud of it. They were proud of feeding on it and they were proud of like making... like money off these people. They were proud of getting extra time off these people without paying them. They were proud that these people were so indebted to the company because they were on a visa that was through the company, that they knew they could get away with treating them poorly because they didn't have any other options. And I'm talking about like Iranian immigrants, people who have families who are currently being bombed, Sudanese immigrants that is going at the time was going through a full coup and didn't know where their family members were.
That's fucking disgusting.
And this company, and that's the like the level of racism that is rising in Ireland is not just calling someone the P word or the N word. It's
physical violence.
Exploitation and physical violence.
Yeah.
We had people in the water treatment sites that would be so racist to these people, and this company wouldn't do anything about it because that's who was paying their bill. Like, you know, guys in Kerry in water treatment plants shouting the N word at people that were working there for this company and wouldn't do anything about it. Where, like, I had people who were like, I can't, that man is so, I'm like, so physically stressed out, would cry, grown men crying. And then that same company was like, we treat everybody with dignity and respect. Like,
hey, if any company says that, please know they don't.
Yeah. If you're in a meeting and a company has to state,
we're treating people with dignity and respect. No, you're not.
You have to state that.
You're doing the opposite of what you're currently
like,
saying.
And that, like, the level of racism and the uprising of the far right happening in this country is such a significant problem. And we live in an area where we are seeing more and more brown people come here because it's cheaper to live here and they can start their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not safe.
No, it's not. And it's people are...
I'm trying my best every time I bump into like a person of colour to like make them feel comfortable. Yeah.
Like Colin was telling me, there's a lady, a lovely lady that lives in our apartment block. I believe she's Indian and she's 3 small children. And she brings those kids downstairs and she sits there and watches them because she's terrified something's going to happen to them.
Like...
And we're not white saviors, you and I. We're not sitting here going, but we're the good whites. Mm. That's not what we're doing. We're just saying, this is fucking insane what is happening.
I also don't think white Irish people, because of how our country kind of came to be in its current state, that thing about understanding how difficult being an immigrant is.
Yep.
Doesn't really exist for us, because when we emigrate, people love us.
We're white.
We're white. We're here for a good time.
Oh, they're the crack.
They're the crack. Irish.
A few moments later.
Do you have any housekeeping?
No!
Oh, I do have some housekeeping.
Housekeeping?
Yeah. Thank you to everybody that came to our show. It was really fun. We had a lovely time. Everybody was wonderful. It was very hot. I'm sweating.
Yeah.
The sweat was like running down my arse crack. It was so hot. Thank you to everybody who showed up. Thank you to everybody who spoke to us after the show. Thank you to everybody who bought merch. Thank you to everybody who currently bought merch with our little merch shop we did online. Thank you to everybody supporting our Patreon. What else did I want to say?
I'm sorry to the woman about the sugar and Tyler thing. Please don't come for me.
What, did she come for
me? Yes. She found me outside. She said, I said that thing about Cher Garvey, you know, but if someone's back in Tala, and I was like,
oops.
No, you didn't. It wasn't you. It was another lady.
Sorry to that woman.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, just wanted to say thank you. Also, this is probably going to go out yet, Will. I am showing a movie screening on Saturday, August 9th. It's a documentary called Something Better Change about Joe Keithley from a band called DOA. He was in a hardcore band for years and years, and he's now a politician in Canada, and he's a very, very good, decent human being. My friend Scott made the documentary. He followed Joe for 2 years and it's great. And if you would like to come, it's in the Sugar Club and I would really appreciate it. But thank you to everybody who has supported us with everything, because it honestly means so much. And people even engaging and being kind and stuff. Thank you. Really appreciate it. So that's all I wanted to say.
I had a great time at the live show. I had loads of fun.
Me too. It was really crack. Thank you to all our friends who came, by the way. We really appreciate it. It was really, really nice to see everybody. And
I actually said to Graham, you know when we were all just in the green room?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like that for my birthday.
The green room?
Just that, all of us together, hanging out, having fun.
Yeah, we can do that.
There was no, like, pressure. There was
no kind of, oh, we have to do a certain thing or whatever.
Yeah, everybody just was chatting and having a nice time.
Yeah, we can do that.
Anyway, that's it. Think you can stop what we do? I doubt it!
We're going to do our case, which is part two of the case I did 3 weeks ago. Because I gave up on living. So here we go.
How are you feeling?
Truly?
Yeah.
Awful.
What happened in therapy? Did she say, hey, did she say, hey, everything's going to be okay?
Hey, everything's great.
She hold your hand through the said, phone.
Do you know what you're doing? A great job.
Where's your therapist?
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. She's up by, remember, I was going to say, remember when I went for that interview for that other job? That's, you don't remember where that was. what's the name of the street? Because I've only ever been there once.
Clumbazel Street.
No.
Lombard Street.
No, it's up at the back of Stevens Green.
Harcourt Street.
No.
Camden Street.
No.
That's all
it's
I've got.
It's a really nice street. It's got really nice, like, all those, like, Georgian buildings. It's really pretty.
Baggot Street. Leeson Street.
No.
All right, that's all I've got. That's all we here, got. Do you know whenever I eat a strawberry?
Yeah.
This size, I think about that scene in Old School where he's under the water and he's...
he's imagining, I watched Old School the other night,
he's imagining his wife feeding him strawberries.
I love you, honey. I watched it the other night because I hadn't seen it in a while. I was like,
I've hilarious. Missed you.
Anyway. So I'm going to do... Are you done?
I'm thinking about all the songs in Old School. Only for a moment, and the moment's gone. You're my boy, Blue.
No, actually, no. I don't need strawberries. So this week I'm going to do part two.
Can I do one more sim? Cheese.
I'm going to do this week. I'm going to do part two of the murder of Derek Benson.
It's about fucking time.
Yeah, it's been, only been 3 weeks. As per the previous episodes, mentions of horrific domestic abuse, sexual assault, rape, and abuse of a child, both sexual and physical. So, obviously, if you don't want to hear any of those things, just fuck.
All the heavy hitters.
Fuck off. Like,
yeah.
I can't help
get
you.
The get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out. Get out. Leave.
Yeah. And if you're from my previous company, get the fuck out.
There was a guy on episode. And he was like, instead of giving the middle finger, he's going to do this.
Why?
He was like, because it's like, not the middle finger.
Oh.
Okay. He's like, it's a new thumbs up.
Oh.
Like, Lily does do really well
because she's not allowed to give the middle finger. Yeah. Sometimes she go like this.
My mother does this, which I find hilarious.
That's like what lesbians do.
She's like that, but this
together.
She goes, my cat named Jason. Stop. So okay, as I said, if you don't want to hear any of those things, girl, log off. I don't know what to tell you.
Sorry, Nikita Hand. Get your money, girl.
Get your money. Sue them all, Nikita.
Get them, girl.
Because the judge said, nah.
All three judges.
They said, fuck it, the fuck out of here, you scumbag.
One, two, three.
Un, deux, trois said, get out of our court, you fucking scumbag. Yeah. That's what they said. Right. Sue, and sue those two people that lied as well.
Sue those two. Because they knew,
they were
bastards.
Like, oh yeah, we really want money. And then they were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This is real. Oh, it's too real.
Yeah.
Let's. No, you're getting
perjury
sued.
Is against the law.
You're getting sued because you don't get to lie in a court of law, knowing you're lying and accepting money for it. That is perjury. So hopefully she gets as much money as she possibly can out of that cunt. He is nothing but a dragging on the ground scumbag. I don't care who's thick or pleased about me saying that. Scumbag. That's what he is.
67% of all sexual assaults put forward to the DPP.
Don't get processed. Don't get processed.
And this is a perfect case. She would have won her
because
case.
Because people keep saying, why didn't she just go to court?
She did.
She did. And they
the
said
DPP
no.
Prosecute.
The amount of people I have said this to in a comment section and then they go, lol, she's lying anyway. So what's your argument? Anyway, you know, fucking men. And anyway, not only men, women who are doing it too, cop on to yourself. Men are never going to care about
what
you.
What's your man say?
Catch on to yourself. Men don't care about you. You will never be a man's favourite. They don't like you. They like other men. Grow up.
I don't think they like other men.
Grow up. Anyway, this is part two of the murder of Derek Benson. Okie doke. So, on the 16th, so as I said previously, what had happened is Derek was murdered. He was stabbed to death with a sword. His partner, Jackie, went to the guards, told the guards that she had paid a gentleman called Paul Hopkins to murder Derek because she had been being abused for years and years and years. She was coming into an inheritance from her father who passed away, and Derek had basically decided that he was going to take all the money, and she just couldn't deal with it anymore, and she's like, I'm getting rid of this motherfucker. So on the 16th of May at 6:30 a.m. Gardaí arrested Paul Hopkins. Hopkins was forthcoming with the Gardaí during the extensive questioning as he quickly realised that Jackie had told him everything. So he's like, what's the point in lying?
Oh, okay.
Paul recounted to the Gardaí that Benson was violent, a psychopath who got joy from hurting people. He told them how Benson had threatened him a number of times, along with insinuating he would rape and murder Paul's partner and his baby daughter. Hopkins said he believed Benson was a paedophile who had assaulted children previously, so he genuinely took the threat that he wanted to assault Paul's daughter seriously. He was like, I do, because the guards were like, do you believe he would have done that? And he was like, yes.
Yes.
He did it to his own daughter. So, yes, I do believe that. Hopkins told Gardaí that he'd bumped into Jackie a number of weeks before the murder, and she relayed the abuse she was experiencing at the hands of Benson. This, along with the threats on Hopkins' partner and daughter, he said was the final straw for him. He told Jackie he would kill Benson for her. Jackie agreed and offered Hopkins £5,000 to do so. Now, that part is what she said. The money, he did not agree with that. So this is the guards were recounting to him, this is what she said, and he was like, no, I never said anything about money.
Oh, so he was like, I'll just do it.
Because he threatened my wife, my partner and my little girl. So I'll just do it.
Do you have a solicitor at this point?
I don't think so.
Oh.
The following week, the two met to formulate a plan. Hopkins' brother had a collection of swords and he decided using this weapon would be the best way to carry out the attack. I feel like it wouldn't.
I feel a gun would be better.
I feel
better.
Like a gun or a knife.
Like,
what are you doing with a sword? Anyway, he did. He bought the sword for £80 and then purchased...
His brother made him buy the sword.
Then purchased a Nokia phone and sleeping tablets, which he gave to Jackie.
Well, he was about to come into £5,000, so...
Sure. On May 13th, the two were resolute in their plan. Hopkins told Gardaí that he had tried to back out, but ultimately he went ahead with the attack. While Benson was sleeping, Hopkins approached him with the sword and stabbed him. Benson woke up wounded and bleeding and attempted to wrestle with Hopkins, but he was already drowsy from the sleeping tablets and rapidly losing blood. Benson tried to run, but Hopkins caught him and viciously stabbed him until he knew he was dead. So remember we were saying last time, how did he not wake up? Yeah. He did wake up. This is what he said anyway. He said he did wake up. Because obviously, like, come on, the sleeping tablets aren't going to... Like, you're going to feel someone putting a fucking sword through you. Like,
you're not under anesthetic.
So he did wake up and then he wrestled him and he actually got the sword out of Paul's hands. But then Paul, obviously he was losing a lot of blood, so Paul grabbed it back and then chased him through the house and killed him. So then after he'd stabbed him and was like, he's dead, he set the flat on fire. That part of the plan was just like him panicking. They had not said they were going to do that. So that was just him panicking. He then cleaned the sword and asked a friend to look after. So he went to his friend's house and was like, can you just keep the sword? And she was like, sure.
But you know what? If you knocked on my door in the middle of the night.
Could you imagine?
I know, but I'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. I'd be like, sure, me.
Yeah, you'd be like,
would you want to see your wing all night? Do you know what? I'd be winking.
A-L-I-B-I.
Hey, were you hanging out with me all night? What were we doing? What were we watching? Old school, yeah?
Let's write it down so we both remember.
But
even at that, I think that's pretty shitty to do to a mate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you brought over the murder weapon.
If you brought a body to my door,
you'd help me bury him. I know you would.
We're going to the door.
So I love the way I said him immediately. I was like, whoever he is, you would help me.
Colin,
yeah. Hopkins told the Gardaí that Jackie had called all the shots and that she wanted Benson dead. Although he said he initially told Jackie he would kill Benson, he backtracked and told Gardaí that he just wanted Benson incapacitated or maimed. Jackie, he said, wanted Derek Benson dead. So he was like, I just wanted to put him in a wheelchair. I don't know what that means. Like, I feel like you're going in with a sword, buddy. He's like, I just wanted to scare him. But how, you stabbed him.
Yeah.
You didn't want to scare him. You put a sword through his body. It's not like you went up and gave him a paper cut.
Yeah.
Anyway. So after 3 days of inpatient care, Jackie Noble signed herself out of St. Vincent's Psychiatric Hospital. The Gardaí were waiting for her outside and she was also arrested for the murder of Derek Benson. So on the 12th of January 2004, Jackie Noble and Paul Hopkins stood trial for the murder of Derek Benson. A jury of 7 men and 5 women were called and the case was presided over by Mr. Justice Henry Abbott. I don't think we've had him before. The state's case hinged on evidence that Jackie Noble was to receive an inheritance from her late father, which Derek Benson was going to lay claim to.
How much are we talking here?
Not that much, like. Not like hundreds of thousands, like 20 or 30 grand.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? They acknowledged the abuse Jackie had suffered and posited that this, along with the thought of Benson taking her money, led Jackie to hiring Hopkins to carry out the crime. So they were like, yes, she was abused, but we think this is more based on the money. She didn't want him to get the money. The state laid out that Jackie and Hopkins had a plan in place and it was premeditated. At no point did either of them try to back out. Hopkins said he did. But look, how do you prove that? Counsel stated that although Jackie Noble had no part in the physical assault, she, quote, engaged Mr. Hopkins to kill her partner, Mr. Benson, and she is equally responsible as the two acted in joint enterprise. The defense argued that what happened to Derek Benson, however horrific, was the desperate act of a woman who had spent years being sadistically abused and watching her daughter begin to suffer the same fate at the hands of this brute. So Claire Keeley was the first person to take the stand. She told the court that on the night in question, she heard screaming coming from Derek Benson's flat, then witnessed smoke billowing from it. She then alerted the Gardaí and the fire services, as well as calling Jackie. When cross-examined by Hopkins' solicitor as to whether she knew of Benson being violent towards Noble, Claire Keeley responded that she was very aware. Claire said she knew Noble had a barring order against Benson and that she, quote, wanted to get out because of the violence and the way that he treated her. She recalled an incident where Jackie ran into her home seeking help as Benson chased her. He ran after her into my bedroom. He was killing her, Keeley told the court. She and her sister then witnessed Benson beating and kicking Jackie when she was on the ground. Keeley said she was scared of Benson, as after one row with Jackie where she had asked for help from Claire, Benson told her he would burn her apartment to the ground if she got involved. This guy was insane.
Yeah.
Claire Keeley
said... Watching people in like domestic violence situations is so insane. There used to be a woman that lived on my road when I was a kid, and her husband was a piece of shit. And he stabbed her one night and slit her arm open, like stabbed her in, like she was obviously defending herself. And her arm was all... And I remember waking up and looking out my bedroom window and she was hiding in my garden from him. So she was like hunched down, you know, my mum and dad's front garden, behind the wall. And he was out in the middle of the road, like shouting her name. And she was covered in blood. And my dad went out and took her in. And he was like...
I'll burn your gaffer.
He was at our front door being like, I'm going to kill... And my dad was like calling the police. So the guards came. But like she... like. She got out of hospital. She was back in the house with him.
Where is she now?
They did separate years later, but...
Okay.
But she had two kids with him. And then she started a relationship with someone else who was... not violently abusive, but abusive.
Because it's almost like a cycle. Like, it's almost like they can... These abusive men can find a woman... Like, and they always say, women will go to these abusive men. No, no, these abusive men know the type of woman that they need, of course.
And you know what? She was, like, not that this matters, but she was beautiful. Stunningly gorgeous.
I hope she's okay now.
Yeah. Like, fully, like, tried to kill her. Like, attempted to murder her, like, stabbed her.
Jesus.
And then as she was defending herself, cut her arms. And, yeah, just...
I don't know, man. It's... I just hope she... Is she still alive, do you know?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Poor lady. Claire Keeley said Jackie Noble could never leave Benson, as on one occasion she heard him telling Jackie he would kill her if she ever tried to. So everybody around her was aware that this man was abusing her.
Mm.
Dr. Mary Cassidy took the stand and gave in great detail the extent of the wounds Benson had suffered and the cause of his death. So this is from the Irish Times verbatim. She said, the deceased sustained a total of 17 wounds to the hand and neck. One of these was a gaping wound to the neck which cut through to the cervical spine. Dr. Cassidy said this was a slicing or hacking injury, as if in an attempt to decapitate the victim. This is what I mean when he said I just wanted to scare him.
Yeah.
She also noted a number of wounds to the scalp, face and ears, some of which extended from the face to ears. So he was like, trying to cut his head off. Outlining the injuries to the trunk of the body, Dr. Cassidy said there were 12 stab wounds to the front of the chest and 13 to the back. Seven of these were through and through from the front of the chest to the back. On the legs, she noted 2 through and through wounds on the right and left leg, in addition to 16 incised or cutting wounds. The deceased's right kidney, lung, liver, spleen and aorta were all punctured, and this internal damage corresponded to the external stab wounds. Dr. Cassidy told the court that a number of cuts to the forearms and palms were consistent with defensive type injuries. The multiple injuries suffered by Mr. Benson were consistent with a, quote, sustained and vicious assault. Asked to conclude the cause of death, she replied, multiple stab, incise and cutting injuries to the head, trunk and limbs. Dr. Cassidy told the court that toxicology tests carried out on the deceased showed a level of the heroin substitute methadone, in addition to sleeping tablets and Valium, a tranquilizer. These drugs would have a cumulative sedative effect. Detective Sergeant Murphy took the stand on February 3rd and gave evidence that there was a barring order in place at the time of the killing. Noble had been hospitalised with broken ribs following an attack by Benson. Lisa Morehouse, Paul Hopkins' former girlfriend, took to the stand and wept as she told the court that Benson had threatened her and her baby on four separate occasions and once chased her with a butcher's knife. Why is this man doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she said that Paul had broken down in front of her and confessed to killing Benson. He told her he didn't mean to murder him and that he wanted to confess to the Gardaí. Now, she took the stand and basically said, like, she could have said, that guy, my ex-boyfriend's a piece of shit. She was like, he is amazing. He was a really good father. She was like, we just both had drug problems and it didn't work out. She was like, I would leave my daughter with him any day of the week. He's a really good man. This was just an act of desperation. That's what she said. So in the fourth week of the trial, Paul Hopkins took the stand. He said that Benson was a psychopath. He spent years being harassed by Benson. And when Benson started to harass his partner and daughter, he couldn't take it anymore. Hopkins said he only wanted to scare him and stand up to the man who had threatened his daughter, but Benson woke up and grabbed the sword. Hopkins managed to take it back from him and then he said, quote, I lost control. I just started swinging. It was frenzied. Hopkins said the guilt afterwards was awful, but Benson was a terrible person and he kept saying he was a paedophile. He was like, this man was a paedophile. He was a child abuser. Like, so I think he was trying to kind of justify to himself, yeah. I'd say. He was adamant that he did not mean to kill Derek, but that the attack had become frenzied. The next 2 days of the trial were harrowing. And this is incredibly graphic. So just please, if you don't want to listen to this, just skip maybe a minute forward. Jackie just details the abuse that she suffered at the hands of Derek Benson. She recounted the abuse she experienced. She told the court that the violence began 6 months into their relationship and continued frequently throughout it. Following the birth of her daughter, Jackie fell pregnant 3 more times but opted to have abortions as she didn't want to bring more children into the world who could experience Benson's violence. She sobbed as she recounted the sexual abuse that Derek Benson had done to her, how he would regularly tie her to chairs and beds, beating her, raping her with objects anally and orally and vaginally and urinating on her.
Jesus Christ.
The jury heard medical evidence of Jackie's trips to the hospital with broken bones and lacerations. In one instance, she had to have stitches as Benson had split her eye open because his stew was on the wrong side of the plate. Noble then spoke about the physical and the sexual abuse that their daughter suffered at his hands. Evidence was brought forward of their daughter's school contacting them with concerns that she was being sexually abused. Noble told the court that Benson forced their daughter to inject him with heroin and to sell drugs on the street. She was devastated on the stand, saying all she wanted to do was, quote, get away from him and find peace for myself and my daughter. What the jury did not hear. So throughout this court case, they kept doing that thing where they kept stopping the trial and the solicitors would go into chambers with the judge and they would discuss things because a lot of stuff came up where one side was like, we don't want that talked about because it's creating a negative light. You know, the usual shit that they do.
Yeah.
So what the jury did not hear was that Benson was deemed too violent to be accepted onto a course aimed at helping violent men overcome their aggression. A doctor from a company, or it's not a company, it's an organization called MOVE, which is Men Overcoming Violent Emotions, told the court, now this was without the jury present, jury didn't hear this, that she assessed Benson and decided he was too violent to be anywhere near the group. He told the doctor that when he was younger, he would cut the heads off dogs and throw cats from buildings. There was something about the way he described the violence that disturbed me incredibly, the doctor said. Now, the jury didn't hear this, so they didn't know about this. But that this was his, obviously his side being like, that's irrelevant. There's no point to say any of that. Like, it's in his past. It doesn't mean anything. But it does, in hindsight, mean a lot because he was violent.
Yeah.
Jackie's GP, Dr. Houston, gave evidence that backed her claims of abuse. Bruises on her body, broken bones and cuts were par for the course. He had referred her to A&E on a number of occasions for x-rays. Dr. Houston called Jackie, quote, a wonderful mother who deeply cared for her child. This is her GP saying this. Like, they all knew this. And he had told her so many times, please go to the guards. And she did and got barring orders. And it didn't matter.
Yeah, because he just kept coming.
He just kept coming. Wendy Dalton, Jackie's sister, was called to give evidence. She wept as she recalled the abuse her sister suffered, telling the court that they could all be in a room together and Benson would just turn around and slap or punch Jackie in the face. Wendy said Benson's anger left everyone around him terrified and that his demeanour would change so quickly it was almost as if he was frothing at the mouth. I read that and I was like, that's crazy. And then I've seen that. Like, I've been in a room with a man that I have seen a level of anger in them that they don't know anything else except I want to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and I've seen like that kind of thing, the like white on the side of their mouth and their eyes kind of go black. Yeah. Like, I've seen that and I know how terrifying that is. And then for them to be in a room and they, like, you're like, we don't know how to, we don't know what to do.
Yeah, you're,
like,
you're just walking on eggshells.
Yeah, you're terrified.
And you're like, waiting, you're constantly just
when's it gonna,
and you're like that flinching of is this when it's gonna change?
So, you know, I feel for her family as well, because the thing about it is, when this happened to Jackie, her parents were dead. She had no support system, really. Like, she was surrounded by drug addiction and drug dependency. So, awful. So, final arguments were delivered on the 30th day of the trial. Prosecution told the jury that there was no defence in this case. Jackie's abuse, however upsetting, was not a justification for paying someone to have Benson killed.
I kind of think it was.
They said that Jackie was not under immediate danger on the night that Derek Benson was murdered. She sat with him and watched TV, then drugged him. Jackie and Paul methodically planned the murder, and it was not, by Jackie's own admission, the first time she had attempted to pay for a hitman. The defence team disagreed. They stated that the defence of self-defence was open to both Hopkins and Noble. They had spent years living in fear of Benson's violence and were never sure when he would strike. They also argued that Hopkins had not gone to the flat to kill Benson, but instead to scare him. I think that was kind of flimsy.
Yeah.
Considering he brought a sword and then just stabbed him while he was asleep.
Mm.
Like, that's kind of flimsy. She asked the... Oh, sorry, yeah. So... So they asked the court to look at the character of Hopkins and Noble. Two people who were never in trouble with the law, who cared for and loved their children, which was in stark contrast to Derek Benson. They argued that Jackie Noble spent years trying to get away from him, with barring order after barring order. Her body had been beaten and assaulted by Benson on countless occasions, and she had to watch as he did the same to her daughter. Jackie Noble was acting in self-defense because she believed that Benson would eventually murder her and her daughter. Although the jury heard evidence of extreme physical, sexual and emotional abuse by the deceased against Jackie Noble over a 14-year period, Mr. Justice Henry Abbott refused to allow the jury to consider the defence of provocation. However, the defence of provocation was allowed to be used against a man who was dating a woman for 3 months who he thought was cheating on him and then fucking murdered her.
Yeah.
But this woman being violently, sexually, physically, emotionally abused and watching the same happen to her daughter over a 14-year period by a scumbag was not provocation.
Why?
He just said it wasn't. Because their argument is, oh, she planned it. Yeah, she planned it. Because she's a woman in a domestic violence situation. And you have to plan.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she should have planned killing him, but your plan has to be like, how do I get out of this?
Yeah. And I've gone to the police.
And I've gone to the police.
And I've got a barren order.
Gone to my doctor. I've gone to my child's school. I've tried everything. And nothing is working and I don't know what to do.
And the school have sent reports saying that this child has been sexually abused.
But according to this judge, that's not provocation. Anyway. After 7 hours, the jury returned with a unanimous verdict, finding Paul Hopkins and Jackie Noble guilty of the murder of Derek Benson. Jackie and Paul sobbed with their families, and as they did, 4 jurors wept because they knew they had given the wrong thing.
Mm.
Following Jackie's imprisonment, this is really sad. Her daughter Kelly was placed in care and moved to
Seaview. How was that? Did you not hear that?
No.
Banging.
No.
Okay.
So her daughter Kelly was placed in care, because she's no one to look after her, and moved to Seaview Estate in Laytown, County Meath. Kelly maintained a close relationship with her mother, visiting her regularly. It was when she was 18, she gave an interview to Joe Duffy in which she detailed the horrific abuse she and her mother suffered. She said that what he had done to them ruined her mother's life and her own life. Unfortunately, Kelly's future was tainted with violence too, when in 2007 she was convicted of the manslaughter of 21-year-old Emma McLaughlin outside a supermarket in Laytown. Kelly, who had two children at the time, told Gardaí she went to the supermarket with her little boy to get groceries. She met Emma McLaughlin, a girl she had been friends with previously but had fallen out with, and they approached her and assaulted her. So Emma was with her sister Shona, and they broke her nose. Kelly then called her friend and childminder, Niamh Cullen, and told her to come to the supermarket with a knife. Niamh went to the store with Kelly's daughter and the knife hidden in a backpack. She passed it to Kelly, who hid it in her son's buggy. Kelly then went outside, hiding the knife up her sleeve. She said Emma, quote, went for her again. And Emma's sister Shona, who was with her at the time, told her that Kelly had a knife, but Emma ignored her. She ran at Kelly and Kelly stabbed her. She said she'd been afraid she would get her head kicked in and told the Gardaí it was self-defence big time. Niamh Cullen told Gardaí that she tried to shield Kelly's children from watching their mother stab and murder Niamh. She had Kelly pinned, but was in front of her, stopping her from moving away from the window. Kelly and Emma started to shout and the children started to cry. I was trying to get the children to calm down and not look. Kelly was convicted of manslaughter, not murder, and sentenced to 10 years in prison. She was to serve the time in Mountjoy's prison with her mother, but following an argument between the two, was removed to prison in Limerick. Kelly was released in 2010, but was jailed again in 2016 for carrying weapons on her way to someone's christening. So she had like Stanley blades and something else. Obviously somebody rang the guards and was like, she's coming up here to break up shit. So in 2017, Jackie Noble was released from prison. Whilst in prison, she was an exemplary prisoner and was allowed day releases for her good behaviour. And she even became a fitness instructor during her imprisonment. She spoke to Extra.ie upon her release, telling them, what's done is done, you know. I'm glad I'm out. I just want to get on with it. I'm a bit lucky in a way, because even though I'm nervous of reporters, they've always been all right to me. To be honest, I'd like to write a book about my life and just get on with things. What happened, happened. I went to jail for it, and that's the way it is. I can't change it, and that's just it. In December 2022, Paul Hopkins was then released from prison. Kelly, however, is like... Oh, it's awful.
A lost cause.
Yeah, she's like, I think she was arrested. Her and her son like assaulted somebody. She was arrested recently. She was up in court again in 2024 for charges and carrying weapons. She's homeless. She's a drug addict. Is anybody surprised by that? Like, a lot of the time, unfortunately, violence begets violence.
Mm.
I mean, you grow up in a situation where you're like, if I don't strike first, I'm going to be struck. Not justifying it, I'm just saying it's desperately sad.
Yeah,
it's horrible that she lost her father in that way, even though he was a bastard, and then her mother is in prison, and then she ends up in the same prison as her. It's just fucked. But anyway, fuck the Irish justice system that will allow provocation to a man who knew a woman for 2 months, who he thought was cheating on her, so fucking murdered her.
Yeah.
And provocation is not allowed in the case of a woman being abused and her daughter being abused for 14 fucking years. But yeah, I do. I know this, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but I do wish Jackie Noble all the best, and I hope she's healing and looking after herself. I don't care about abusive men. I just don't care about them, whatever, fuck them. So yeah, that is my case.
Well done. He can use about 27 minutes of this episode.
Ah, he'll be fine.
I'm off to Morocco.
She's going to have a great time in Morocco. I'm going to be stupid.
It's 42 degrees.
Goodbye.
I am going to die.
You bring your little fans with you. And
that's not going to do anything.
No, it ain't going to do shit, brother.
Such a grandma. I won't be leaving the hotel. AC. All day long.
Oh, God, it's so 42
degrees,
dude. 42
degrees. Do you know what the UV index is?
No.
Would you like to guess?
I have no idea.
12.
Is that really high?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Because I just have to wear loads of sun cream, honey.
I always wear sun cream. I do always wear sun cream. See this face you pull? Emma.
Taste that shit.
I wear sun cream every day now.
Taste that bullshit, floral bullshit.
Lions.
But yeah, you'll have a great time. Sarah's going to Morocco. I'm not, because she hates me.
That's not true. No, or maybe it is.
Maybe. We'll find out next time.
Next time. yeah. Colin, you've got loads of shit to cut out. Thanks very much. Everybody have a great week.
Colin's going to fucking kill us. I'm sorry. I just like to apologize to Colin right here, right now. I'm very sorry, Colin.
Colin!
We'll be back when we're back. We'll never serious back from holidays.
Yeah, we'll be back when we're back.
And we'll talk to you then. And once again, thank you for
supporting us.
Okay, bye.
Come in and sort this shit out.
Did you? I heard you acting the goat.
Yeah, no, Colin, good luck with
acting
that.
Acting the giddy goat.
Why can't I work? Why can't I work? Why can't I work? Why?